Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, Chris Blow Barler. What's up, buddy?
Chris Blow. really hate the life of this joke has taken on. It's been something. I'm good.
Real red. And happy Cocktober to you, sir. This is your favorite time of year, isn't it?
I love a cock, especially this time of year. Spooky season, love it, love it.
No, but I mean, this is when Carolina takes over the SEC.
Dude, that schedule they have coming up is tough. I don't feel as scared as I probably should be for them on Saturday for the LSU game.
Mm. Hey, what are your thoughts? Have you seen it yet on the Trinidad song?
Oh, it's good. It's good stuff.
We played it and it almost deleted our YouTube page, so I'm not going to play it again.
Why?
But well, apparently that's heavily trademarked, the Trinidad AI song. So anybody, if you want to go check it out, it cannot be played on these airwaves.
Yeah, because we have a better one we're doing at the end of this, freestyle rap.
Hey, so what's up, man? Biggest takeaway from the SEC last weekend. Are you finally going to dunk on all of us after trolling your ass about Alabama for the first couple weeks? Now, they look damn near elite, don't they?
They look pretty good there, Mike. They look pretty good. I can't figure out what to do with my hair here.
Was there any truth to the rumors that was you yelling at Diego Pavia in the stands?
Dude, okay, so let's start there. Two things can be true at the same time all the time. Like, you can be mad about, that is happening, by the way. Shane is correct. You can be mad about a kid getting yelled at all you want. You could also be realistic and say, hey, this 24-year-old who's been in college for 7 fucking years ran his mouth at every single opportunity he had. And we love him for it. Like, we don't want him to stop doing it, but like, yeah, man, you're shocked that you spent the entire summer talking shit about this team and at what you're going to do. And then you had every single possible out to run the or to kind of like walk back the comments. And you're like, no, it won't be close. Like, and it's like, OK, so then the game happens. You get your ass beat. And
barely.
Sure. And I mean, yeah, sure. Like, but all the stuff that you pride yourself in doing for Vandy, we run the football well. We don't turn the ball over. We are constantly having a change. He was running for his life, and they had a good run game going. I don't know if Alexander got hurt or whatever, but then what good teams do is make second half adjustments. It's what Vanderbilt has done better than almost any team in the SEC all season. We saw it at Virginia Tech. We saw it against South Carolina, even though Lenore Sellers is out. We've seen them do this over and over again. But you had every opportunity to just be remotely humble. You could have had a cocky smile. You had every opportunity to not be a dick. And you took every opportunity you had in front of you to be a dick. So, yeah, I'm not shocked that some belligerent 48-year-old red-faced man named Walter or Daryl or Randall or whatever got pissed at Diego Pavia walking off the field. And I'm also not shocked considering the fact that he was grabbing his dick at the student section a minute and a half before kickoff. Brother, get your head in the game. Like how much of your focus going into that game was on the game and not the theatrics that you created involved in the game?
Hmm. Well, you know, the guy who should have been talking all that shit is this man, Ty Simpson. How about it, man? They were saying all season. I know you heard it too, Chris. Well, what the hell? With this quarterback, Bama can't do shit. I don't know why everybody... And I'm not saying Gunner's bad. I'm not saying Arch is bad, although maybe he is bad. This Ty Simpson was literally in the same position, a touted recruit, waited his time, yet no one gave him a damn second thought, although we did on this show. But I didn't think he'd be near this good. You know, I picked Bama to win the SEC because I thought he'd have a really good year. Mm-hmm. You can make the case with John Mateer not in action that Ty Simpson is the best quarterback in the SEC. What's your thoughts on that?
You could make that case right now, especially because Trinidad Chambliss didn't play last week and he's only had 3 games.
Yeah.
You could sell me on any of those 3 being the best 3 quarterbacks in the SEC right now. And I think Aguilar's up there. He's been really good. Still think Pavia, when he's on, is up there. He's been, but his biggest thing is efficiency and not turning the football over. And then he did that every, multiple times on Saturday. but like, you know, I like Aguilar a lot too. Doesn't do a great job protecting the football. At least he hasn't in the last 3 weeks.
Doesn't even need to.
You know what's crazy is if they just make the correct call there on fourth and one in the first half and run the football like they were able to do down their throats the entire game. And you know a lot about throats, Mike. You get it. So it's like, I think if they just do that, then he probably doesn't even have a turnover still going into the month of October. So, no, Ty Simpson's played great. I think the scary part for Bama, or for people facing Bama, and it's still a gauntlet they have in front of them. Until they got a ways to go. I do not think they're going to win this weekend. But, like,
kind of jumping ahead. So this gauntlet, you don't think it's survivable at – because this is – I don't think Missouri – I don't really give a damn about rankings. I think, in my mind, Missouri's top 10. I think Vanderbilt does – again, maybe not on paper, but they're top 10-ish, I thought. Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, you don't think that's a survivable four-game stretch?
I think they have they've got to go 2-0 in the next two games, because I don't think that they can win out the rest of the season. Gotcha. I don't think they can beat Oklahoma and Auburn. I'm not super worried about LSU.
Did I just hear you correctly? You think if Alabama loses one of the next two, which is at Missouri and Tennessee at home, they're likely not going to go to the playoff?
Yeah, I do think that.
Whoa.
Because then you still got to figure out a way to – if they lose in Missouri this weekend, Missouri's coming off a bye. You know what this game reminds me of a lot of, Mike, is – all right, like, hear me out here. Remember in 2010, and the numbers are almost pretty much the same. 2010, Alabama comes off a national championship season. They come off that year, and they've got eight SEC games they got to play, right? They play Penn State in a non-con game early. They have eight SEC games they got to play. Their last six were all against teams with a bye week before they played them. So that's tough. And the first two ahead of that were top 10 Florida, top 10 Arkansas. And one of them was on the road, and it's like, and they survived the one against Arkansas. They beat the brakes off Florida, and then they go into their next game, the first one on this gauntlet of six straight games of the bye week. And who is it? It's South Carolina on the road, 3:30 kick. But you're coming off these two big wins that you had this like emotionally getting up for, which was Georgia and which was Vanderbilt, and now you got to go to Mizzou, a rested Missouri team that is really, really good. They're top 10 or top five in the country on total offense and total defense. They get after the quarterback better than anybody. I mean, they're a really good football team. So, yeah, man, I think they have got to figure out a way to survive this game. And then, oh, by the way, then you got to get back up the next week for a Tennessee team that's coming off of
that's a game even better.
Arkansas. Yeah. But, like, you have this game. I want to say Oklahoma has a bye week. South Carolina like there's every
team. They all get byes before Bama, don't they? Mizzou.
A lot of teams have byes before Bama. Like, what? Go to South Carolina real quick.
And Tennessee's basically on a bye playing Arkansas. South Carolina, yeah. They are.
I got to go on everybody. South Carolina's on a bye. That, like, really
they're
never.
Screwed. But yeah. LSU gets a bye.
But also, it's one of those. Yeah, LSU is going to bye. And so does Bama in that case. But like,
Oklahoma gets a bye.
And you're talking about like. That's a what I don't know who Auburn has, but it's a lot going into the season. And also, every single team they have played so far, they get Mercer. Every single team they have played so far this year in the power, like every single team they played has been undefeated up until this point of playing them. Wisconsin was 2-0. Florida State obviously had zero losses at the time. Georgia was undefeated. Like every team they played so far, it's a gauntlet of a schedule, man. I don't know how they get through it.
So it sounds like you're saying the SEC's out to get Alabama.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
You bastard.
Rants just in Auburn's pocket, brother.
You know who strongly disagrees with that? Oh, as does anybody with a mind of football. Our great cousin JR just gifted another membership. Chris, he's here every time.
Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted EGA Sooners. EGA, welcome to the family. And then we got Junior in here, loyal Junior. I think this is JR's son, Junior. We appreciate you, buddy. Junior.
JR is my daddy. I'm Junior.
Junior gifted Scott Thomas. Scott, welcome to the family. And Too Tall Paul. What a legend Too Tall Paul is. He's feeling it with his reps there. He's been a member for a month. We appreciate you, Too Tall. What about Georgia? All right, for JR, are you? I think you hate Georgia, right?
No, what?
You said they're not going to a bowl game?
I did not say that ever. I think it's interesting that this weekend, like the Auburn game, because Auburn's coming off a bye. Now, usually I love that stat. If somebody's coming off a bye, like I usually feel really good about that. But there are some teams that are really bad off a bye. Mark Stoops, I think, is one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know about I think Mark Stoops. This is why I'm so pissed that I got the digital.
Stoops is like 3-9, I think, coming off a bye here lately.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is. It's like his record off a bye doesn't say. We'll talk about it later.
Great.
2013. This is as of this week. Since 2013, he is now 6-11 coming off a bye week. So there's some teams that I think that aren't great at it. I don't know what Hugh Freeze's record is. I just don't think he's good at anything right now from a coaching standpoint. So it's hard for me to look at this and be like, oh, yeah, they're going to be fine.
He's good at coaching quarterbacks.
The 3.5-point line is shocking to me. Here's the thing. Like, maybe they come out inspired. It's at night. It's in Jordan Hare. And it's going to get spooky. But here's the one thing that I know from just trying to win a game, not keep it close, not have moral victories. Teams that win football games don't hang their hat on no. When the sun goes down at our stadium, dude, you don't, like, crazy stuff happens. You don't even know. You know, like, the craziest stuff ever. If the one thing that you're hanging on to as a program is no, in 2013, our stadium was like really difficult to play on for like two straight weeks, and these crazy events happened, and it still didn't lead to a national championship. If that's what you're hanging your hat on, like, yeah, you're probably not going to win this game. Like, I'll take Georgia again, and Georgia will win in this game for, I think, the 15th time in 18 years. I hate to sound so crass, Auburn, but it's like, why would we believe now?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe, and this is what I'm hearing from reliable sources here, Chris.
Paul Feinbaum.
3-2. Auburn's 3-2. 0-2 in the SEC. If he loses to Georgia at home, you know, not that at some point he's got to win one of these damn games, but
yeah,
I don't think they're going to turn around and fire you for losing to a top five Georgia. But if he loses to Georgia and Missouri and he's 0-4 in the SEC, I believe for the third time in a row, I heard they're going to fire him. Would you believe that?
What's his buyout?
I believe it's like the lowest in the SEC, and it's one of those where like they do not owe him hardly anything up front, so they could spread it out. I think it's like the remainder of the contract, and they have the time to do it essentially monthly.
I need, yeah, they're gonna Klarna it, basically just put it on Klarna. I need them to do what Tennessee did to what's his name, if they're gonna do it.
Pruitt, find allegations
and just dig up something, because it can't be that hard to find him, brother. You know he hasn't been the cleanest one.
I will add this, Chris. There is things to find, so I'm just saying they may not have to pay him anything.
I can see
and
that
when you start
what is there to find? Let's talk about it.
We can chat about that off air, but again, when you start losing.
Show's
like
over.
Comes to service, you know.
I think there's also a really good point somebody else made here in the comments, which rarely happens with this crowd. Just kidding. That's a joke. That's clearly a joke. No, somebody made a point that said this is, and I'm sorry I can't find it to bring it up because I want to give him credit, but it basically said this Auburn Georgia game is very similar to the Texas Florida setup, because it's like, why would Florida be only a 6.5 underdog? Like, why does that line keep coming down? And people just kept hammering it and kept hammering it. And then, you know, lo and behold.
That would have been Andrew Cooper. The Auburn setup is the same as Florida Texas.
Yeah, it's a good point from Andrew Cooper. Thank you, Carl Judkins. I appreciate that. I think there's it's not like they've done it in the past couple of years. I mean, this has been one-sided for the last 20 years. And this is my favorite rivalry in all of college football is Georgia-Auburn. It reminds me, it's the most – like SEC heavy, tradition filled. I grew up in Atlanta. The first game was played, I think it was like February 20th, 1892 in Piedmont Park. Like I used to live across from Piedmont Park. I love this rivalry so much. It's awesome. It is everything that is great about SEC football, and it's been there forever, and I love it. Thanks, David. And so...
You bastard, weird. David. How dare you? You know, we do appreciate Adam, though. Adam, he's the opposite of David. He appreciates you mightily, as do I, Adam.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you, Adam, Bob, Bamil.
Your family.
I love this question from Too Tall. What's the likelihood that Texas is the new Texas 8-4?
Pretty good. I mean, like, they're not a good team.
I mean, I'm just getting blown away by all these statistics, you know? Like, I mean, hell, even the Texas media people are jumping on their ass. But it's like literally every statistic you come up with.
You know what, Mike?
There's nothing good.
They didn't change over time. They didn't change over time. Like, it's not like, oh, my God, things went so sideways after the Florida loss. No, this is the same shit we've been looking at. And it's like, this is what pisses me off so much about the Texas media is that, like, You're not paid to go just don't clip that. Every single bit of like arch mania stuff, every single bit of like, oh my God, did you know we almost made the national championship game two years in a row? That's a great feat. Unless you present yourself as we are the best program in the country. We always have been. We are God's gift to football. You think high school football is crazy here, brother? Man, I'll tell you what, you should see college football. This hasn't won shit in 20 years. Like, and the idea that they were going to waltz into this season because they have a quarterback who I think it's very fair to say at this point, unless he has everything around him in place, like he did at Newman in high school, against a bunch of fucking, you know, kids that were turned down to work at Hollister, like, playing in the secondary and opposing teams. Like, I don't – what did you not see? Like
wait,
what,
you're out on Arch?
Yeah, I've been out on Arch. But, I mean, like, but for Texas, it's like you – it's the same thing that Michigan had to go through last year. You had to replace all this NFL talent that you weren't even used to having. Like it wasn't like Texas was just putting in kids in the pros, especially early around draft picks like you know, like they were 20 years ago. No, you lost 23 kids to the draft in 2 years. Like – you lost a quarterback who was a generational quarterback recruit. You got another one, but it's clear they are not the same talent level. And when you lose all of that offensive talent that's around Arch, somebody should have like just been like, hey, I don't want to be the downer in the room, but like, what if they take a step back? You fucking idiots. Yeah, of course. Of course they were going to take a step back. It's so stupid.
Hey, shout out to Always Cocky Pod. Comment of the episode so far. He says, fine, Bob having to go to politics after his Arch takes at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, dude, that's pretty good.
Hey, let me ask you this, though. Now, again, this is not a given, but they are favored.
That's crazy.
If Texas beats Oklahoma, huge if, I think they'll wax Kentucky's ass, even though it's on the road. I think it's fair to say they'll beat State, even though it's on the road. No, uh-huh. Neither one of those are a given. Do they make the playoff if they win the next three? I think they have to win out.
No. They have to win out.
What percentage today? What percentage? 0 to 100%. What percentage you give Texas to make the playoff?
I'll give them 15%, and that's only because I still see this and I say Oklahoma. If they get by Oklahoma, they at least have a bye before Georgia.
Right.
They're gonna beat Arkansas. I mean, they're gonna beat Arkansas. They're gonna beat Kentucky. But this is all fool's gold. I mean, they're the only team that was ranked besides Penn State that didn't have like a win against a Power 4 opponent yet. Like they played Ohio State close because their defense was great. But like now that the pressure is on and like now that you've had to go through the season where you don't get gifted this like slate of games where you don't fucking play anybody until you get a bye week and then Georgia and you get them at home like last year. Like, you played a backup quarterback in Oklahoma last year. It's a much different Oklahoma team. Like, you got to skate through your first year of existence in the SEC in every sport. They sent LSU to go see y'all. They sent Georgia to go see y'all. I think, like, they had, like, multiple top 10 opponents that they were all at home. Look at their basketball schedule. I'll get on a rant about it. Like, it won't matter. I know no one gives a shit, but, like Auburn, home game. Bama, home game. Florida, home game. Like, those were like they had all of the every difficult opponent they've had in every fucking major sport at home, if they were scheduled at all. And the fact that they weren't able to capitalize off that, but still want to walk around and do the whole look like Tarzan, play like Jane bullshit. And I'm not even talking about their team. I'm talking about their media for the most part. Like, it is pathetic to me that nobody in that entire state, it's a massive state, guys. It's a ton of media. Nobody wanted to raise their hand and be like, I don't know. I mean, couldn't you see him maybe taking a step back? The bar we've set's pretty high. It's just, it's stupid. It makes me genuinely mad.
Does Billy Lucci not count as that state? Or are you talking about just Texas media?
I'm talking about just Texas. I mean, do you remember at media days how many people there were because of Texas?
Mm-hmm.
It was a ton of media. And then that day, people getting up in the middle of Sark talking to go stand by Arch's table, like, I think I got one of his locks of hair. I'm going to sell it on eBay. Like, what is wrong with y'all?
Hey, so you bashed all that on Texas, which is, I think, fair. But no credit. How much credit to Florida for finally? This is the Florida I thought we were getting, Chris. Now, is it too little too late? Or maybe just, hell, Miami. I haven't watched Miami aside from the Florida game. They look like $1 million there. And everybody says they look like $1 million all year. At LSU's difficult. Now South Florida's still inexcusable, but yeah. could this be the win that kind of, maybe we're not going to the playoffs, but could this save Napier's job?
I mean, he is Nick Saban when his job's on the line. I mean, he is Mike Price when it's not, and then he is Nick Saban when it is. It's insane, man. If he beats A&M, I will start to believe again. I think the A&M game is much tougher. You're at home. You're not coming off a bye. A&M is obviously pretty good, and the scary part for A&M is that, like, they're good. They're seemingly getting better defensively, but they're also the offense has been. I mean, the offense has got like Terry Bussey hasn't been like a crazy impactful dude, but like Concepcion, Craver, your two biggest hits in the portal have been huge. Ruben, was it Owens, the running back, he's been great, and then you have Reed, who's like been really good when they need him most, and. You know, Florida's got to go to A&M for the 11th time in the last 8 years for some reason. I don't know why they keep doing this to them. If they win this game, I'll start to believe. But I think it's a tough test, man. Like, I saw this the other day, and yes, I did, Tennessee legend. Thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate it. If this game was at home, I'd feel better about it, I think. It's on the road, I think. And I saw a tweet this morning that kind of, I think that is, we're still going to make fun of A&M. The boys just singing arm in arm, doing campfire sing-alongs and all that kind of shit. Like, super, super lame. But at the same time, they at least own it, and they don't really care how other people like perceive them or care, like, or like what they think, which I respect the shit out of. The thing that I saw today was somebody was like, whether you love it or hate it, like, their intro, them coming out of the tunnel to Kanye Power or whatever, them like having like Kyle Field rocking as like what it's become now, I think, one of the toughest places to play in all of college football. Like, they're becoming cool. Like, A&M is like a cool place, it looks like. And
they
it's
still play Kanye?
Yeah. Yeah, they do a Kanye thing, and then they go right into this Diddy song. It's awesome, dude. People love it. People love it.
I wonder who's after that. What are the odds A&M is the best team in the South Asian Conference? Because I think that's up for debate.
You know, the scary thing is, I don't know, dude, if they don't get knocked off this week. I mean, like the second half of the season going on the road for three straight games is not easy. Like, you won't have a home game for over a calendar month. Mm-hmm. But you won't struggle with Arkansas. Arkansas might put up some points on that defense. LSU will be interesting because it's at LSU. It's a revenge game. You get a bye week before Mizzou, which you could argue right now is the toughest team on that schedule. But not getting Ole Miss, not getting Oklahoma, not getting Bama, not getting Georgia. Like, this is – I mean, this sets up really well. And I think that they feel like, besides maybe Ole Miss, maybe the lock to get to – the playoff. Like, I mean, we could see an A&M Ole Miss SEC championship and two first timers going there, which would be maybe pretty cool. I don't know. I don't know if anybody from the state of Mississippi or especially in Oxford can even get directions to Atlanta because they've never been. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Oh, he's always needling. Shout out. Hey, Peyton Brooks gave us a donation. Oh, you Should rest Mateer? Question mark. OU wins with Hawkins, great, but if we lose, college football playoff can hold it against us. And is Arch better than Hawkins at this point? Oh, man. The fact we're asking these questions is hilarious. But
it is wild.
It's fair. Thoughts on that? I mean, should they rest John Mateer? I don't think they got to worry about it. No. I don't think he's going to be available.
No, this is a restore order game for Oklahoma, because coming into this into the SEC, this was like, if you would have done it any other year over the last 15 years, Oklahoma would have been like holding the hand of Texas saying, hey, this is our little brother. They're also coming along. Like, mom said, he has to be here with me. Please just play it cool. Like, he won't be in the way. Trust me. But Texas beats Bama in they almost beat him in 2022. They beat him at in Bryant Denny 2023. They almost get to the national championship game, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, and I think I know why now, because it's like there's only the slightest level of delusion that this, like, you have to creak the door of delusion just barely open for them to kick it wide open, right? I think that Oklahoma, whoever they play at quarterback, if they need Mateer in to win this game, they will play Mateer. I think they have South Carolina the week after. I'm trying to think of who else. I know they have Bama and LSU late in the season. Here we go.
It's Texas, Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Bama, Mizzou, and LSU.
I don't think you can afford to rest Mateer. No. And I also think you can beat them. I think you can beat – I mean, like, this Oklahoma defense is for real, dude. Like Arch is going to be running for his life all day. So maybe it's a situation where you get up early, yeah, rest him. Like, if you're up three scores in the second half, maybe get one more and try to get up. But, like, I don't think this game's going to be close. Like, and it's not because of how bad Texas is playing necessarily or what Arch has done and his inaccuracies or he's not living up to whatever. Like, it's because of the actual matchup. Like, the actual matchup is brutal for Texas. We saw how bad the offensive line was against Florida, and Florida's a really good defensive unit, especially up front. But Oklahoma's better. I mean, Oklahoma's arguably the best front four in the country, and they get after the quarterback better than anyone else in this conference. So I think that's going to be a big mismatch, man.
Right.
Bo Molinari makes a good point too, though.
Oh, don't tell him that. All right. No, but you also don't want to give Texas life.
No, put your foot on the throat, dude.
This is their game, right? If they win it,
you have a chance to end their playoff hopes right now.
Right. So they're going to be, you know, this is kind of their Super Bowl. But let me ask you this. More likely to happen, Texas wins or Oklahoma shuts them out? What's more likely?
Well, that's a good one. Oh, man. Shutting out a Sark offense would be insane. I think Texas wins is more likely.
Yeah.
But this Oklahoma defense is really good.
Well, that's a fair question, don't you think?
Yeah.
I hate it for him. Hate it for him. After all that shit talking, you know what? How about, we haven't talked about your cocks there, Chris. LSU. Brian Kelly said anything interesting? Did he try to fight any media members? Anything like that? And how's old Garrett?
Favorite quote from Brian Kelly this morning. We were at the press conference. Favorite quote is this. Hold on. Vakari Smith, as you guys know, is outstanding in the return game. That was Brian Kelly on Vakari Smith.
So I got his name wrong?
Yeah. Vakari Smith, as you guys know, is outstanding in the return game. That was Brian Kelly on Vakari Swain.
I made this comment to Shane. I want to see if you agree with me. The coach that could be put on the hot seat the most, just based on this weekend's games. Does that make sense?
Petrino.
Brian Kelly. If he loses as a double-digit favorite at home, not to be disrespectful to South Carolina, that's not the intent, but the intent is LSU fans are already – I mean, it seems like every year they're out on Brian Kelly after one loss. They have everything in front of them, but if they lose at home coming off a bye to Carolina, I think those fans will go apeshit. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Oh, they'll be pissed. The sky has been falling for 2 weeks here. They lost by five on the road at Ole Miss. They had a banged up offensive line because Weston Davis got a concussion and a broken nose in pregame, which I don't know what he could have done. But I mean, because here's the thing.
Did you give him a line?
What's that?
Were you handing out lines to the LSU players?
I would never give away my stuff. No, I think the thing that is scary, go back to LSU's schedule real quick. And this all, we all could have seen this coming, but like after the Clemson win, we put a ton of stock into that. And maybe the better question should have been, all right, you beat Clemson on the road. That's a good win. But then you only won by 10 against Florida with getting five turnovers. Like that's, maybe we should have, Jesus Christ. Maybe we should have done that. David, bring David in here. I want David to talk. I want David to talk. A very high level of delusion in regards to what?
Everything.
Unless it's my weight, then shut up. So the thing about that Florida game, like there were some questions that could have been asked and then were, and Brian Kelly got upset about it. And so now you're looking at the schedule and you're like, dude, I don't think that going to Vandy is like necessarily a huge, like people might not have been concerned about it earlier. Like I tell you what, the consensus feeling I get from LSU fans being in Baton Rouge right now all year long about that was, oh man, I can't wait to go to Nashville. Can't wait to go to Nashville. We're going to have such a good time. We drank them dry last time. They were out of vodka and from the Bloody Marys and screwdrivers and to give the day off. And now it's like, shit, like that's a tough game. Then you get A&M at home. Then you got to play Bama on the road. These are all games after you watch Bama lose to Florida State. It was like, we are on top of the SEC. We all thought that. I still think the defense can be. But if this is the offense, and I tell you what, even if Nuss is healthy and they can't run the football, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble. In regards to the South Carolina game, it is about fucking time. It's Cocktober. Excuse my language. I know we don't get a lot of this on Locked On Gamecocks, but allow me just to be unfiltered Chris for a second because that's where I'm at my most comfortable. It's about fucking time we are in October, and it's about also fucking time that Mike Shula gets out of his own way and says, Lenoris, put the cape on. We're going to call the game in favor of what your strengths are. And so I did this whole deep dive on this yesterday, just humble brag, but also shameless plug. Check out the pod from yesterday. I did a whole deep dive on the office. Here's all the numbers are concerning, Mike. All of the numbers are concerning because for the most part across the board, every major statistical category offensively, you're ranked 14th worst in the SEC. You're like 92nd in scoring. You're 117th in like multiple different categories. You give up a ton of sacks. You give a lot of tackles for losses. Your third down percentage is only 35%. But the bigger concern is what South Carolina is not letting themselves do in situations where, like, we're in week five and Sellers has like five total touchdowns, which is shocking to me. But there are things that this, from an identity standpoint, that they do that aren't making any sense. And after the bye week, right now, this week, they need to come out into Louisiana and they need to throw the football a minimum 30 times. Like, and that's playing into a bit of the strength of LSU. They have a great secondary. They are really good defensively. But here's what we all know about South Carolina. They can't run the football. And on first downs, they are – this is a stat, okay? Here, this is the long-winded part. I'm finally getting to it. They average 2.17 yards per carry on first down. It's the worst down they run on. They're terrible at it. When they throw the ball on first down, not only are they completing over 81% of their passes, not only is the passer rating 206, not only are they also getting, they're converting another first down on first down, so a play of 10 yards or more on 25 of the 49 dropbacks on the season. Over 50% of the time, they're getting a first down on first down. Not only is all that happening, but they're only throwing it like 38% of the time on first down. If you're that bad at running the ball, throw the fucking football. Throw it to Vandravius Jacobs. Find Nick Harbor. Get any of the freshman receivers you brought in. Like, find the tight end targets. Like, this is what the offense has to be. And that's all I have to say about that. I'm fired up for this game. I don't think it's going to be a huge runaway victory for LSU because LSU is a one-dimensional offense.
Right. Maybe go write that on Beamer's glass wall so he'll see it. So they start throwing it more. You know what?
Yeah, maybe. Same hat. Yeah, different shirt, though. Different shirt.
Pamela got mad. She said that was a disrespectful comment, but you are uniquely qualified to answer it because you cover Carolina, you cover LSU.
Yeah. What's disrespectful?
Me saying that Brian Kelly be on the hottest seat based on one weekend's games, but I don't think there's another candidate, unless Sarkisian, you know, gets his doors blown off. But even then, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I mean, Brian Kelly could legitimately get fired, I think. I don't think he will, but he legitimately could. If he, let's say he loses to Carolina, gets blown out by A&M, and then maybe Oklahoma and A&M. Like if they go 7-5, I think he's cooked.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd agree with that. And then the scary part for them is, because I thought the whole thing when they brought they didn't get what's his name? Bryce Underwood. Him losing out on the Bryce Underwood sweepstakes. Like, I mean, that was the number one player in the country. He's like generational talent and all that kind of stuff.
Didn't even need him.
What that did was free up all the money that you were going to give to him to then spend on this year's class. But now, like, one of the other things that did was, all right, you got to make sure you can't have Nuss leave, because then you have nothing behind him. And so there's a kid, I can't remember his name right now. Somebody in here probably knows. He's like the number one player. I think it's Elijah Haven from, I want to say Denham Springs. I'm like slowly starting to learn the high school football down here, and I'm getting just as mad at those rankings. All right, brother. There's a team that's 2-3 in 1A right now that is somehow still ranked in the top 10. And I get fired up when I see it. But they don't have a lot of talent at quarterback behind him. You can say Michael Van Buren if you want. I watched him play all fall. I was there for every practice, and it's not great. And so I think that the scary part now is like the sliding door arguments that happen when you lose Bryce Underwood. What happened now?
David's just mad that you cover those too. He's like, he is a loser covered. Like,
yeah. David, you know what's awesome? You know what I get to do every
you're
day.
You're such a loser, Chris, for making money talking football. You
every
piece
day
of trash.
Every day I get up. I used to make mojitos at Houston's and make $100,000 a year. And now I make slightly less than that doing this, and I get to wake up and I don't have to make a fucking mojito in a wool vest that doesn't fit for someone that's like, aha. Sunday nights in Atlanta, baby. A lot of fun. I love this job, but I appreciate you being so in tune with what you
do. What do you think David does for a living? Do you think
he's watching your show at 2 o'clock on a Monday, Mike? Probably not a lot.
He definitely works for his mother, don't you think, in some capacity?
No, his mother doesn't love him. Come on.
Hey, we haven't talked a lot about Mizzou. They got this huge epic game. I know you said they're gonna win it.
What? Let me walk it back, Mike.
What is the path for Missouri, you think, to win this epic game?
Their secondary has to get better and better quickly. The secondary is like the one very, very obvious. They had so many struggles.
Let's do a sports. You could be the bartender at my sports bar podcast.
That does sound pretty fucking sick, to be honest. Okay. Hold on. Let me pull this up real quick, because I want to make sure I'm correct about it. Missouri, like, they don't give up a ton of yards in each game. Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how much that would burn? But that secondary got torched against South Carolina. Here's the one thing. I'm high on Missouri. As you guys all know, I love Missouri, and I think they're a great program, and I'm very excited they're getting like they're due. I think that right now it's hard for me to look at them and say they're not a top 10 team. I think Ahmad Hardy should be getting way more love. Bo Pribula should be getting way more love. Like, I mean, like the numbers he's put up, he's like, it's near the best in the SEC and in the country. So like they have been great, but man, 109th in strength of schedule. We didn't know people were on the football. We fixed it in the bye week. Yeah. Chase, I don't know if that's true, man. And here's the thing though. Like that's their biggest weakness as a defense. Bama seems to have gotten a lot better on the offensive line. I don't know if they'll be able to run the football. I think Missouri will be able to run the football. Mm-hmm. But I also think that this is a game where, like, if Bama comes in focused and is able to, like, not get sucked into, like, a sleepy start or anything like that, this is going to be a great game. Otherwise, I think Missouri can easily win it. I really do. But that secondary, there are very obvious flaws and vulnerabilities in the secondary there. And I'm not saying that to be a dick towards Missouri. I'm saying that in terms of like, I saw the South Carolina game and things that could have happened if you don't start out on first and goal and end up at the 25 yard line somehow, and have all these turnovers, you know, like not turnovers, but you have like all these like shooting yourself in the foot moments for South Carolina on the road. Bama hasn't done that. Bama's one of five teams in the country that has one turnover or less in the season. I think Missouri's really good. I think they're going to be able to run the football, two-headed monster. Like, Bama is the worst in the SEC at missed tackles. I think they have, like, an 80% tackle rate, at least going into the Vanderbilt game. So, like, you're going to be facing two backs that are very difficult to bring down. Ahmad Hardy is one of the best backs, if not the best back in America. Love him. But do not act surprised if just because the front four is good for Missouri, that back seven doesn't get exposed, because this is a very good passing offense.
Hey, shout out Carl. Give us a donation. Marler, obviously, like a hooked on phonics kid.
It's not even how you spell it, idiot. There's an X in it.
Hooked on crack. That's all I'm here for.
There you go.
What about, I would imagine they're going to force Bo to beat them. And hell, he's looked like $1 million more often
than not. He's good, man. Yeah, I agree with you. It's Norfleet is a huge mismatch.
Yeah.
Love that kid.
How about this? Let me ask it this way. If Mizzou wins, which is not a given, mm-hmm. what's the likelihood they make it to Atlanta?
Well, the bigger question is, if they make it to Atlanta and keep the schedule up, will they move the game from Atlanta to another home game for Missouri? Because my fucking God, dude. Like, I mean, what a schedule, dude. Like, what?
I've never even
seen anything like that. 8 home games, 6 in a row. Oh, they have to go to Arkansas, though. That's tough. 2 Arkansas, 2 Vandy. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, you could argue those are the three, well, I was going to say the three worst environments, but Auburn's a good environment. I think you got to show up more to that Locked On podcast. They talked to, no, I'm not going to do that ever again. Anyway, I think it's a very good chance, man, because the schedule is very, very manageable, I guess is probably the right word. That game at Auburn, it could be tougher, but Auburn just doesn't do anything that is super concerning. The Vandy game will be interesting for sure. I appreciate you, Stephen L. But dude, if they can win 2 of the next 3, I think they're a shoo-in. Because who are they going to lose to in the final 4 games?
Oklahoma.
Okay.
At Oklahoma.
They get A&M at home. I mean, and they get a bye week before that. I think this is maybe the best schedule mm-hmm. setup. And this is not a knock at Mizzou. This is arguably the best schedule
they'll take it as that.
Ever
Trust
seen
me.
For a fucking contender in the hit. I mean, like, dude, I mean, this couldn't set up better. And also, here's the other thing too, man, that win against South Carolina is the only game they've scored less than 40 points. The schedule's been easy. It's 109th in the country. But, I think that Pribble is really, really good. It's 2 secondaries that are going to have some opportunities for sure this weekend.
And then Crazy Cheese wants to know, how does he get his wife to like Brussels sprouts? You got any tips
bacon
there?
On them. Bacon or Reggiano cheese.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a similar question. If they beat Bama, scale 0 to 100, likelihood they make the playoff. It's got to be very, very high, right?
100.
Wow.
Because this is
a playoff game for you. So, man.
M-I-Z.
Now, we haven't talked at all about this one, Marla. How about Bobby P riding into town? Baby, does that Bobby give him any shot? I mean, they're fired up. They think they're going to whoop Tennessee's ass. They've beaten Tennessee 4 in a row. Beat them last year.
Is that real? They've beaten them 4 times in a row?
Yeah, they're going for number 5 in a row.
Did I see somewhere that he made a hire for a defensive line coach?
And it wasn't Coach O. Also, you seen the Coach O video? It looks like he had a facelift.
Yeah, he's had some Otox for sure. I think it's weird to me he made a defensive line coach.
Well, he fired all the coaches, so he had to hire somebody.
But I mean, you would have thought he would have started with coordinators. like I can't, not to say it's not an important position, but like it wouldn't have been first on the list, I feel like. What the fuck is that?
Are you a heavy Tennessee lean here?
Yeah, for sure. I hate a 14.5 point spread. I hate a 14.5 point spread. That's very tough. I mean, listen, like, they looked really bad last week against Notre Dame. That also kind of felt like it was something where it was like where Notre Dame was trying to prove a point that they were kind of back. And I know they took the foot off the gas in the second half, but I mean, like, that game went sideways so quickly for Arkansas Taylen Green can still, Taylen Green will go out and beat somebody this year. I don't know if it means it's going to be Kentucky. But this is a, it's interesting. I think it's good for Tennessee. They got a bye beforehand. How about them scoring 40 points or more for the, in five straight games, for the first time in program history? I don't think that's going to, change at all this week. They're going to, they will be able to name their number.
Wow. Okay, so what's the number for old Trinidad?
69.
Is Ole Miss the best team in the conference?
I don't know. I'm being a prisoner of the moment, admittedly, when I say this. I was so impressed with the win against Tulane. I was really impressed with the LSU win, the way they went out and sealed that victory. If I'm being honest, I kind of feel like having the bye week gives you like a full picture of it. And it's like, well, I don't know, that Kentucky game probably shouldn't have been that close. Arkansas definitely shouldn't have been that close. And so Georgia State's a nobody. But the other part too is that like the last three games they've won with Trinidad, like he has been, I think, the best quarterback in the SEC for the sample size he's been given. Right. Anyway, so yeah, that's it. I don't, what am I getting fucking shit on every single thing that I've said? These aren't even good jokes. We're just like recycling bad jokes that you would say on Twitter. I don't get it.
I enjoy them, you know.
I'm sure you do.
I'm the one typing them. These are just my, what if I was all these people just typing the whole time?
Why is it singular girthy cucumber at 2:30 a.m.? You know what it is, you know, like you're gone to this, you're gone to the grocery store like way later than you should be there, or even in a normal time. Yeah. And like you like look down and like the three things that you have are just like, you can just tell they're horrifying.
For like, I don't know that I've been there. Like, there's never been a time. Give me an example.
You ever bought a plunger and like, there's no time you buy a plunger that it doesn't look bad.
Right.
Like you could buy it at like a normal 5:00 PM. Like if it's a busy shift. But if you buy it at like, I don't know, 11 PM or like 8:30 in the morning, like that is that's a tough look for optics. You know what I mean?
That's true. I usually don't go to the grocery store for a plunger, but that does make sense.
That's how they sell them. Where do you go? Ace Hardware?
That or Target or, yeah, there's a Target right down the street. That makes more sense than the grocery store.
I guess. I don't know. I don't live on your street, bitch.
What's the best game this weekend, you think?
In terms of,
yeah, really?
Yeah, I think so. I'm telling you, I think that South Carolina game could be closer than people think. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because of the podcast. I think that like just the matchup they present, if they can get Lenores going and he's not turning the football over, which he's never had a game where he's had more than one interception. He seemingly has fixed the fumbling issues. LSU's offense is one dimensional and the strength of South Carolina's defense has been their edge rushers, which LSU's O-line is terrible. And then the secondary. So I think that'll be a good game. I'm not a believer in the Georgia Auburn one. That Bama Mizzou thing, I think the line opened at 5.5, started down at 3.5. Like Mizzou could probably be favored in that, and it would be it would be viable. I think I would buy that for sure.
What's the worst game?
Washington State and Ole Miss.
Well, I'm on conference. I don't care about that one, to be honest with you.
Ole Miss's schedule has been, I mean, thank God they played LSU, but like Jesus Christ, dude.
They got Citadel coming up.
Citadel. I mean, I don't think we know fully about Ole Miss quite yet. That other one, I mean, Arkansas, Tennessee, because now you have the revenge factor part for Tennessee too, where Tennessee, look at the over under, dude. Look at the over under.
69.5.
That's unbelievable. I think you're not going to get me to believe in the Florida A&M game just because I think Florida's defense is good. I think that game could turn into something similarly to what we saw last week where A&M was close with Mississippi State for the first part of the game. And Chase, I'm like nothing but nice to your fucking program. Like, I don't know where any of this is coming from. It was funny for the first 2 weeks. Anyway, so I think those games will be good, and that's about all I got.
Which SEC team has surprised you the most this year? Good or bad?
Maybe Ole Miss. I'll start there mainly because you look at the number. Remember last year they had like 54 or 58 or something like that sacks. It was near the top in the country. I think it was like third in the country. Mm-hmm. They did it in like three less games than Ohio State, who I think led the country. They didn't have to replace all that production on the defensive line, and really like the two teams I kept comparing last year that were that started the year in 2024, like I compared it to like a Major League Baseball team at the end of the All-Star break, going into the trade deadline where it's like, you know, we feel like we have a chance to maybe go on a run here. Should we go in like all in and go buy some what do you call it? Like some players to get us over the top. That's what they did with Cam Ward. That's what Ole Miss obviously did with all the spending they did. Miami did the same thing. And then both teams fell short. This year, Miami went right back into that same mode, and Ole Miss didn't necessarily do that. They got some dudes with not like the way they did like last year, but the way they're able to do what they're doing defensively when they only have five total sacks right now, it's like, I think it's like the fewest in the entire SEC. They're not winning the same way, but they're finding ways to still not just win, but be undefeated. I think that's really impressive. The other one, Georgia's been, it's a slow burn for me. There's not as much. I'm always of the mindset of give Kirby Smart the benefit of the doubt. And I think you're in a spot where they might have two losses on their schedule before they get to Florida. And, you know, like they still are a team that could make the playoff because of the way that the season closes out. But I mean, I don't know if they're that good. I don't see the upside with this team as much because they have so many struggles on the offensive line. They don't get to the quarterback very well, which is they're not like a suffocating defense. There's not one thing Georgia does where I'm like, they do that better than anyone else. Like that's concerning because there's always been that since Kirby Smart's been there. And like, doesn't mean they've won a national championship every single year, but there's always been something. Even in 2019, they had one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the country. The year that LSU won it all, like 2018, you had, you know, DeAndre Swift was fantastic and great at catching the ball in the backfield. You had some really good dudes on defense then too. And Jake Fromm was like at least a winner. Like obviously the years they won the national championship, but I'm looking at the roster now and I'm like, where's Noah Thomas? How is Zachariah Branch not more involved? Why are you not throwing the fucking football downfield? Like you've got guys that are bigger and can run faster than mostly everyone. Why aren't you throwing the ball down the field? And like, it feels like they are painstakingly trying to force running the ball. And Nate Frazier is your best running back. Give him the ball. I know he fumbled against Bama. Give him the ball. Like, if for whatever reason, it feels like Kirby's trying to teach too many lessons and prove too many points right now.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, I forgot about. Here we go. I got it back. Kentucky. What do we do with Stoops? If you're unaware, he's got a $38 million buyout. It's all due within 60 days of his termination. He's getting asked in the press conferences, you know, if he's stepping down, if he's turning down the money, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. How does this end, you think?
Badly. I mean, dude, like, do you remember this summer when I love Stoops, by the way. I think he's a phenomenal interview. He's super funny. I said that him or Pittman would be done at the end of this year first, but I thought that they would go out on their own accord. Like I thought Pittman would step aside and say something like, I'm done. You remember the picture that came out of Stoops this summer where he was drinking at like a bar?
Of course. I've got it pinned on my wall.
The moment that happened, I was like, this dude's done. He does not give a shit. And so I think that, I think that he is going to have a tough uphill battle. I think he's done as much as he can do at Kentucky. And it, like they made some efforts, like Kendrick Law is there. They went out and got Zach Calzada, who like statistically speaking, maybe would have been a good pickup. I don't know, but it's over. Like it's clearly over. And the rumors of him trying to get out this summer and then them not being able to figure out like a buyout for it is kind of wild. But like this, if they can't pay him, what I think is going to happen is they're going to restructure his contract to where they can pay him over time and they're not going to pay him up front because he just very, Bitch, I'm 6'1". What the fuck are y'all talking about?
He's 4'10". You know.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, I think that when you have like his setup, he's clearly over it and would take the payday and be like, neither side's having fun anymore. But one of them is going to have to budge on the compromise, and I think it's going to have to be Kentucky, because he I don't think he cares. That's good. That's a good joke.
And does Arch get it fixed?
No.
You don't think?
Everyone thinks that he's so close.
I think his offensive line did him no help this weekend.
No, but he's also not doing himself any help. There's plays where he's like, there's a play when they were going from right to left on the TV screen, mm-hmm. and Florida brought somebody off the edge, and it was either a backer that came off the edge unblocked, or it was a corner blitz or something, but somebody came unblocked. And he got flat-footed and stood there like this, and then the last minute fired a ball. And I'm just watching him, and I was like, he must have him. Like he must like be waiting to the last second for him to break free. No, the guy had like two men draped all over him, and it's just like I haven't seen him sit there and do anything in the pocket with that offensive line. And hey, here's the thing too, Arch. You don't get to we don't get to make excuses for only Arch behind bad offensive line play. Lenore Sellers has been running for his life for a year and a half. Like, that South Carolina offensive line gave up 41 sacks 2 years in a row, and one time it was with Spencer Rattler, who's not exactly mobile, and one time it was with Lenore Sellers. Like, I don't give a shit if he's had bad offensive line play. There's been Jalen Milroe had bad offensive line play. Like, figure it out, dude. You're supposed to be, like, super athletic and able to run the football, but, like, that's not where I'm seeing the issues. The issues are – he's not able to connect like just the timing on routes looks off, and his arm angle more than anything, man. I'm telling you right now, from somebody like when I played baseball, if you're throwing the ball, I said this to you a couple episodes ago, if you have any sort of shoulder discomfort and you are typically throwing from here, the first thing you do is drop down. So there's not as much of a strain in that normal throwing motion. It's the easiest thing and the most normal thing your body can do when there's some sort of issue with your throwing shoulder, and there's something wrong with his throwing shoulder.
Well, I knew when you said with two men draped all over him, that was not going to go well in the comments, and needless to say, that did not disappoint. But, so do they bench him? I mean, hell, they threw out the backup. He looked like $1 million on that one throw.
I think if they bench him, you have to be smart about it and say, I don't think they will. This is Arch's team. Like I don't think they will do that.
Right. But I think the worst case for trying to get it corrected, it's going up against this damn number one defense in the country in damn near every statistical category.
I think that you're going to have to see him do something that is like they're going to have to protect him. Like if you bench him, it needs to be under the guise of or the premise of, hey, he's injured, something's wrong, and we're going to give him some downtime. Like. Versus like they just yes, that is Pamela Younger. It makes the best point. He overthrows on every deep ball that he's had. And so, I don't know, man. I think that he has either been injured, or he is injured. And either way. Yeah. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you getting fucking beaten down over here today for no reason. I think something's definitely wrong. Listen, they have the schedule to fix it. It's not like they have a gauntlet they have to go through. So, I think there's so many more issues than they're being honest with. You don't go through that schedule like early on, like especially against Ohio State, and then be like, oh my God, that's crazy. Like, I think apparently the offensive line's not very good. Like, you guys, like, all of this has been the same. Schedule harder opponents or be honest with yourselves. I will tell you the reason I will not feel sorry for any of them. I will not feel sorry for any of them. It's because of that fucking bullshit that he pulled against Sam Houston State where he stood over somebody and was like, and Arch Aura Manning.
That Aura, I forgot.
Stupid, dude.
What happened to that Aura?
Aura Manning.
Has the team ever gone from number one to unranked by October 6th?
Yeah, the 2000 Alabama Crimson Tide started number 3 in the country and finished 3-8. Any other questions?
Money Marler Monday. I think that's a perfect place to cut it. Chris, before you go, don't cry. Please let them know where to follow you and where to find all your work.
No, fuck these people. I'll see you guys next week.
Okay. That's it, I guess. We'll be back later tonight with Stephen Lassen, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Unlike Marler, we love you all. We'll catch you here in a few hours.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.